single soul. Reaching a world and stepping in closer. CGM TV.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Living Life. The theme of justice has become kind of center stage, has come center stage in churches and in Christian circles. I kind of don't like that phrase, but yeah, in the world these days, over the last couple of years. And it's something that OEM, that we've been talking a lot about as well in the last couple of years. And talking about modern day slavery, that how a lot of people were unaware that slavery still happens. Human trafficking happens in various forms. Children, even, being trafficked for labor, for sex, many shapes and forms. In some sense, some statistics say that there are more people being trafficked and enslaved today than there ever has been in history. And so it is something that that is on the mind of believers and of Christian and church leaders today. And it's something that, you know, that's been on mind, that's been grown, that has grown in my heart. And something that I was beginning to think about, you know, in the practical that we fight for justice, but as a pastor, there has to be a spiritual element. Something I was thinking about is that true justice is found in God, obviously, as we fight, and as there are many NGOs, and many of whom have maybe lost a little of this truth, many who are remaining in this truth, that all that we do in the name of justice and for justice must be in Jesus' name. And we're going to see a little bit of that in today's passage, actually a lot of that in today's passage. So let's read it and then we'll continue.
Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 through 12. This is what the Lord says: Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, the man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, "The Lord will surely exclude me from his people." And let not any eunuch complain, "I am only a dry tree." For this is what the Lord says: To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Sovereign Lord declares, He who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. Come, all you beasts of the field, come and devour, all you beasts of the forest. Israel's watchmen are blind, they all lack knowledge. They're all mute dogs, they cannot bark. They lie around and dream, they love to sleep. They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way. Each seeks his own gain. Come, each one cries, let me get wine. Let us drink our fill of beer. And tomorrow will be like today, or even far better.
So what is justice then? I guess simply put, justice is righting a wrong. Right, putting to right something that is wrong. Slavery is wrong, right? Taking advantage of a human being for my personal financial material gain is wrong. That is a common truth that, you know, believers of Christ, God or not, would come to agree with. And in today's passage, in verse 1, we see the beginning of the biblical definition of justice that goes, that takes that into account, but goes a little further. Let me read verse 1 again. It says, this is what the Lord says, maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. So this verse shows us that justice and what is right is within God and is connected to two things. It's related to two things, salvation and righteousness. Justice is related to salvation and righteousness. And I believe this is the beginning of the biblical definition of justice. And I remember a couple of years ago, even as our ministry was talking about justice and getting involved and doing what we can to fight the modern day slavery, of the biblical definition and my idea that justice begins with being without God. Right? Before we talk about, and we should, as we do talk about, the practical way that injustice is seen in the world and what we do, the first step that we have to consider of injustice is to be without God, right? Because what is the ultimate wrong that needs to be corrected in the universe? And that is sin. Sin against God, against the holy and righteous God. And so we see the focus of maintaining justice in today's passage. That is, relationship with God starts with the people of God. Firstly, the Jews. And they are the people that the Old Testament, the Bible, is firstly addressed to, especially the Old Testament, as the first audience, right? But then, if you look at verses 3 to 7, it very quickly spins out. Branches out to include foreigners, non-Jews. There are two specific terms that the passage uses. Firstly, foreigners, very clear, right? And then eunuchs, which is very interesting. And eunuchs are basically foreigners. There were no eunuch Jews, right? And eunuchs were usually either government and or religious administrators, and eunuchs are people, men who have had their male part, castrated, cut off, for different reasons that I won't get into right now, but some practical reasons. They served an administrative purpose either in government and or religious administration. So foreigners, right? Foreigners who are just foreigners, even administrators of religious, foreign, spiritual, or governments. These people are included, clear as day, to be part of God's blessing and even in His reconciliation, reconciled to in relationship with God and to remain there for eternity. It is very clear in the book of Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus. And all this is made possible by the servant of God who suffered for all. And now we see what the for all really means. And this is addressed to Israelites who did not understand what this meant. The universal nature of the gospel is clear in many parts of the Old Testament. And today's passage is one of the main and the clearest. Yeah? Verses 10 to 12, it basically describes the Pharisees and the Jews during Jesus' time, how they were inward focused, how they could not understand what was going on. It said they lacked understanding. They had mighty appetites, as we saw with the zealous way that they applied the law and tried to obey the law. But it was, as it says in verse 11, turned to their own way, seeking their own gain, the human, right? And they were just talking to each other in verse 12. Come, each one cries, let us eat, let us get wine, let us drink and fill our of beer, and tomorrow will be like today. They were trying to maintain or attain holiness for themselves, and in and of themselves. And that's all they mattered, all they thought about. When throughout the Old Testament, God was clear that His servant would be for all. Foreigners, eunuchs, it didn't matter. That is the focus of the good news, not just inward, but for all. So two things for us today as we close. Firstly, on a personal level, and then on a more community level. Firstly, is that every Christian must have an international mindset. The gospel that we have, the truth that we have, is not just meant for one, for you, for me, those closest to you, those in your country, but it is international. It is worldwide and universal. Second, on the community level, is that every church must be a house of prayer for the nations. It is right out of the Bible. It is directly from God. I remember a couple of months ago, a pastor of missions and a missionary as well, called the Korean church and even Onuri church to pray, not just for Onuri church, not just for the Church of Korea, but to pray for the issues and the churches all over the world that is happening. And I believe that is something that we need to do today, to have that international, world, universal mindset, because the gospel is for all. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you for your servant, your son, who has come and suffered and died for all, so that we may have new life as your son was resurrected with you to be reconciled. And Lord, you are calling the nations, oh God. You have invited and made all this possible for all nations, for foreigners. And, you know, what does that word even mean these days? And God, we are all as foreigners, Lord. We want to spread your news. We want to share your love to all so that we will be one together in you. So I pray that you will enlarge and just broaden our minds and even our hearts, oh God, to love as you love, to suffer even as your son suffered for all, and to fight for all as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching a world all and stepping in closer.